This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Kelly Morlock can help you manage your wealth and retirement needs.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
This is Jim Henderson with the Feature Story of the Week. Well, my wife and I moved to Half Moon Bay over 44 years ago, and during the time that we've been here, the one thing that we've noticed is that Half Moon Bay never disappoints when it comes to things of a controversial nature. And once again, there is controversy in the city of Half Moon Bay, and it centers around the plans to build a large structure at 555 Kelly Avenue. There are some people that think that is not a good idea, and there is actually an organization by the name of Let Half Moon Bay Voters Decide, and we have a representative from that organization, Hal Bogner. Welcome, Hal.
Thank you, Jim.
Why don't you tell our listeners what it is about this project that doesn't seem right to you?
Well, I appeared before the city council at their priority setting workshop day a couple of years ago and pointed out to them that the question of whether we're going to have five-story apartment buildings in the city of Half Moon Bay, which currently has a three-story height limit on such buildings, that's a question which I believe should go before the voters, because once there's one five-story building, there will be people coming to them to build more, and someday there will be more. To me, that's a major decision that affects the future of what this town will look like. You've got me, by the way, I've been here only for 33 years. I've seen many issues be brought to the ballot and a consensus formed by the community, a clear decision made one way or the other, and everybody said, okay, we voted, we move on. I believe that the question of whether there will be five-story buildings is one that should go before the voters.
Why don't we tell the people a little bit why this is more than just a five-story building? The city council, as I understand it, basically went against their own rules and regulations for height restrictions because supposedly this would be something for the farmer community. And because of all of the publicity over the recent years concerning our farming community, they went ahead and basically broke their own rules to put this forward. And part of the problem, as I see it, is that there are some people that are willing to go along with it just because they think it's for a worthy cause. Does that impact the situation in your eyes?
Well, from our point of view, Jim, what we're doing here is making sure that the question can be placed in front of the voters in November. And as long as we achieve 10% of the voters of the city signing to place this on the ballot, all of those questions can be discussed pro and con in the run-up to the election. That's the reason for getting something on the ballot. So we're not expressing any opinion as to the merits. There are people who've come to us and said they support this, but in another location where it can fit within the city's zoning height limit. There are people who want other changes or object to something, but none of that is of our concern here. The only concern is being able to allow the electorate as a whole. In fact, you know, we've seen at a number of city meetings, a lot of people come and express strong opinions on both sides of this particular choice, and there are still many, many people here in Half Moon Bay who haven't come to meetings, haven't expressed strong opinions, may not have strong opinions, may not even be informed, and as voters, they have the right to be heard as well.
Well, it's really how democracy works. In other words, rather than having just a few people decide something of a major nature, and I think that we, in our previous discussion before we went on the interview here, talked about the tunnel, whether it was the bridge issue downtown. There have been many issues which has been rather controversial in the community over the years, and many of them have been decided by the voters.
I agree, and I, having arrived here 33 years ago, my first experience was watching, while in line at the Half Moon Bay Coffee Company, one person ask another person about this Measure T, tunnel measure, and they were just lambasted immediately as though they were on one side or the other, and they're like, wait a minute, I'm new here, and I just asked a question. I didn't even know what this is about. Well, over the years, I watched John Lynch, the fellow in the Uncle Sam hat, collect signatures to put many, many things on the ballot, and I always admired that. So, you know, here we are. John is not with us any longer, but, you know, people have stepped up again to put things on the ballot. One thing that you also mentioned about the Half Moon Bay Main Street Bridge, you know, that was a major decision, whether we keep the character in the bridge or see downtown shut down for a year and a half at that entrance during reconstruction or replacement of the bridge. And we ended up, you know, with a measure that I worked for and a lot of people worked for. And overwhelmingly, the people of the town decided we'll keep the bridge as it is. It's structurally sound, maybe make some, you know, improvements to its appearance or replace wood planking, things like that. This is the purview of the voters.
But you're collecting signatures, and the main point for that, I understand, is Safeway in the Strawflower Shopping Center. And what hours are your people there? If a person is listening to this and they're interested in signing the petition just for the purpose of getting this on the ballot, it's not whether it's right, whether it's wrong. It's a matter of this particular building being constructed at this particular place. So if they want to sign up and support the concept of getting it on the ballot, what are your hours that people can go there and sign?
So we have volunteers working in the community in multiple ways, but the one single constant point of contact is every day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. we have a table outside of Safeway, and anyone who is a registered voter eligible to vote in the city of Half Moon Bay have to live within the city limits. So there are some people who are like not quite sure they can ask there. They can come anytime and sign the petition. There are also other petitions circulating in the community, and periodically there are other locations where signatures are being gathered as well.
Now, the name of your organization is LetHMBVotersDecide.com. That's a website that people can go to get more information?
Yes. The basic information is really straightforward. It's the question of placing this major question on the ballot. LetHMBVotersDecide.com is our website. We also have an attorney in Sacramento who advises us and prepares the formal materials. So we do have a small amount of bills to pay. Everyone working on this are volunteers. We do have a small number of donors, and there is a donation page on the website as well. We appreciate very much the support we've received so far, and we hope to continue so that the attorneys in Sacramento can feed their children as well.
Okay, very good. What is the deadline for getting these signatures?
We're having this conversation on June 2nd, and I believe our deadline is exactly 2 weeks from now, June 16th. So for the next two weekends and all of the weekdays in between and just beyond, we still collect more signatures. We generally aim for at least a 25 to 50% margin above the 800 or so signatures that are the minimum. There being 8,006, I believe, registered voters currently in the city of Half Moon Bay.
When the signatures are collected and presented to the city and it goes on the ballot, that will be what, November?
I believe that the timeline includes a period for review at the county to verify the signatures. Then it comes back to the Half Moon Bay City Council, which has a choice, if we've collected enough signatures, to simply adopt what the voters are asking and overturn the ordinance leasing the building for 99 years for a dollar a year. And if that stops, then it doesn't go to the voters. But the council has clearly, stated that this is a question that if it gets enough signatures, they will send to the voters. And as long as that all occurs by some date in August, it will appear on the November ballot.
thank you for coming in and sharing this with us. Your final remarks?
There is one thing I wanted to point out, which is 2 years ago, at a time when the permits for this planned building were approved through the Planning Commission and then over an appeal at the City Council, we collected 1,179 signatures in 3 weeks at that time to put it on the ballot 2 years ago. The city refused to put it on the ballot, saying it was an administrative approval of a permit and that it wasn't a legislative decision by the City Council, and that therefore it was not subject to referendum. Although we disagreed with that at the time, we basically said, look, when you come back and you actually go to lease the city property to the builder to be able to take possession and build this, that will be a decision of the City Council, where you've had to consider how much money, how much time, many other decisions go into it as well. So it's an absolutely referendable. But one question which has been asked by a few people is, I signed 2 years ago. Do I need to sign again? And the answer is yes. During this 30-day period, we need to collect signatures for this particular effort to put it on the ballot. So if you signed 2 years ago, please come down and sign again. Thank you.
Well, Hal, thank you for coming in and sharing that. And we'll be interested in the results. Keep us appraised.
Thank you, Jim.
Hal Bogner is with the group LetHMBVotersDecide.com. If you agree that Half Moon Bay voters should have the final say on the subject of allowing high-rise buildings in the city, visit LetHMBVotersDecide.com. For the feature story of the week, I'm Jim Henderson. In 1948, there were not many buildings in Half Moon Bay, period. For a look at what things were like back then, join Cameron Palmer for another trip in the KHNB time machine. It's all coming right up on The Voice of the San Mateo County Midcoast. This is 100.9 Coastside Radio.
You've been listening to the KHNB feature story of the week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000. Or email us, news@khmbradio.com.
Serving the neighborhoods of the Coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710, and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine, with host Cameron Palmer.
This week, we step out of the time machine into 1948. What were things like on the Coastside back then? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review, 57% of voters cast ballots. 57% of the 9,600 counties registered voters went to the polls recently, a surprise turnout in view of predictions that half or less would vote. The last time the vote was higher than 50% was 1946, when 65% of the registered voters went to the poll. And battle for assemblymen to be aggressive, clean, and constructive. After winning their primaries, Assemblyman Richard Dollig, Republican, and Democrat Robert Hargrove have promised an aggressive, clean, and constructive campaign for the November elections. And the cost of county government growing. San Mateo County Board of Supervisors has approved the new 48-49 salary ordinance, which includes 67 new positions, bringing the total number of people to run the county government at 756. And now for a little history in the making for my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. We provided Buzz Time trivia boards for years at my pub, free of charge to players. For those who don't know, we're connected to establishments all across America and Canada who are also playing. Scores are shared on a central TV as well as on individual playing boards. Our regular trivia players have learned to pool their knowledge and play as a team rather than competing against each other. Whoever sounds the most confident gets the team to follow their lead. This has worked so well that Cameron's Pub has become well known in the trivia world, since our team often ranks in the top 10 of the United States and Canada. When any of our trivia gang travels, They look at places that host games and are sure to visit wearing a Cameron shirt. This gets them a big welcome and instant camaraderie in a strange town. Also, we've been surprised by visitors who come to visit us just to meet the Cameron's Pub trivia team. It's been fun. A big hats off to Linda from Vancouver, who travels down regularly and has become a great friend, and she stays up above the room, up above the pub in the rooms. If you haven't yet tried this fun game, come to my pub and ask your server to set you up with a board. Free. Warning, trivia can become addictive, but at least it's free. Keep calm and trivia on. And on a sadder note, we lost a local legend this week, my friends. My good friend, four-time mayor Al Aldrovino, at the age of 102. My prayers go out to John and Anita Mueller and the rest of the family. God bless and Godspeed, Mayor Al Aldrovino. 1948. It's only a few short years since the ending of World War II, but a new war is beginning between two former allies. It's called the Cold War, and the Soviet Union takes a shot by blocking West Berlin from the U.S., Britain, and France. The U.S. counters with 11-month airlift food and supplies. A new nation is born as Israel is declared an independent state and joins the United Nations. Here at home, fashions are becoming more daring, with bikini gaining in slowly in popularity, and the first prefab post-war housing to solve housing shortages are starting to appear. They can be built quickly to accommodate the growing need and are inexpensive for people to buy and helps with the baby boom after the war years by providing young couples a home with which to start their families. Due to demand for goods and services, prices are rising. Many believe that the government should bring back some wartime price controls, and televisions are appearing in more and more homes. In technology, vinyl long playing records played at 33 RPM is developed, as well as Velcro and the transistor radio. Cost of living stats, loaf of bread, 14 cents. Hamburger meat, 34 cents a pound, and gas is 16 cents a gallon. The musical trend of 1948 included the continuing transition from big bands to individual singers, as well as increasing popularity of lighthearted novelties. Instrumentals are big, and the records they enjoy 8 weeks at number one. Here's Pee Wee Hunt and the 12th Street Rag.
Thank you.
existing or associated with wartime big bands, teams up with another band singer, and together they produce this hit. Here's Doris Day and Buddy Clark with Love Somebody.
Love somebody, yes I do. Love somebody, yes I do. Love somebody, yes I do. I love somebody, but I won't say who. Handsome say he's 6 feet tall, and his picture's on my wall. Love to be his baby doll. If he kissed me, I wouldn't mind at all.
I love somebody, yes I do. Love somebody, yes I do. Love somebody, yes I do. Love somebody, but I won't say who. Don't know why she acts so shy. She ought to know I wouldn't dream of even hurting a fly. Hope she doesn't pass me by, 'cause if she did, I'd die. I know I'd die. I love somebody, yes I do.
Love somebody,
yes I do. Love somebody, yes I do.
Love somebody, but I won't say who. He's big and strong.
Would you like to feel my muscle?
Bold and gay.
I never once lost a tussle.
At the moment, he's not very far away.
Why don't you say who? Say already.
I'd want to marry him today.
But you don't say who.
That I cannot do.
Happen to be me.
Possibility.
Won't you tell me who you love?
Love somebody.
Tell me true.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Love somebody.
I do too.
And I do.
Maybe me.
Love somebody.
I hope it's me.
Yes, I do.
Love somebody, but I won't tell who. Come on and confess.
Why don't you try and guess?
Do tell. Let's tell.
You promise not to breathe a word?
Doris, don't be absurd.
Strictly on train
oui, wee oui, wee, we too.
Well,
confidentially.
Between you and me.
Confidentially,
I love somebody.
I've got news for you.
Love somebody.
I feel that way too.
Love somebody.
Glad it's true.
That somebody that I love.
For the KHMB Time Machine, this is Cameron Palmer. Thanks for listening.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Serving the neighborhoods of the Coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710 and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
A reverse mortgage is a financial tool that allows senior homeowners to access the equity in their homes without having to sell them. Essentially, instead of making monthly mortgage payments, seniors receive money from a lender, which is then paid back when they move out of the home or pass away. This can be particularly beneficial for seniors who are on a fixed income and may need extra funds to cover living expenses, healthcare costs, or home repairs. By providing access to cash while allowing them to stay in their homes, reverse mortgages can help seniors maintain their quality of life, such as paying off existing debts, funding home improvements, or covering medical expenses. This financial cushion can give seniors peace of mind, helping them to live more comfortably and securely without the burden of monthly mortgage payments. For more information about this financial tool for seniors, call your Coastside Reverse Mortgage Specialist at 858-967 6060 858 967-6060.
Welcome to Financial Focus on KHMB, Community Radio for the Coastside. Join us as we explore what you need to know about securing your financial future. We'll cover topics like managing your 401k and IRA, understanding your Social Security benefits, and navigating pension plans. It's time to help you enjoy the retirement you've worked so hard for. And now, here's your host, Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, everyone. This is Kelly Morlock, Edward Jones Financial Advisor here in Half Moon Bay. And this week's Financial Focus, 10 financial steps to take before and after your wedding day. Getting married is a major decision that comes with a financial to-do list that's arguably more important than choosing a venue or a cake. Talking openly about money can help set you and your partner up for a stronger future. What financial conversations should I have with my fiancé? Head into your marriage with honest conversations about money, including these four topics. 1. Discuss how your families handled finances when you were young, whether you're a spender or saver, and what debt you're willing to take on. 2. Share how much you earn, spend, and save. Discuss assets and debts, including mortgages, student or auto loans, and credit card balances. Your partner's debt can become joint debt after marriage. 3. Align on a budget as a couple that reflects the life you want to build, where you'll live, what you'll spend on housing, travel and hobbies, and how often you'll review your finances together. 4. Talk through your goals. Make separate lists of short, medium, and long-term financial dreams and compare them. You'll likely find some common ground, and where you don't, look for ways to compromise. A financial advisor can help. Should I ask for a prenup? Couples with significantly different assets or debts, those expecting large inheritances, or those blending families are more likely to want to consider a prenuptial agreement. A prenup outlines how assets, debts, and future income, inheritance, and even spousal support will be handled during the marriage and if it ends, but it cannot address child custody. Should my new spouse and I blend our finances? Regarding couples blending finances, there's no one right answer. Some couples combine everything, others keep accounts separate, and many land somewhere in between. Agree on who pays which bills, how major decisions get made, and what spending threshold triggers a check-in. What financial tasks should we complete after getting married? Once you're married, these 6 tasks deserve attention. 1. Take advantage of the special enrollment period, which typically lasts 30 days after getting married, to update employer benefits such as health insurance. Revisit retirement plan contributions if your combined income has grown. 2. Review insurance coverage. Combining homeowners and renters insurance, auto and umbrella policies can often reduce costs. Make sure you have enough life insurance. 3. Update beneficiaries on insurance policies, retirement plans, investment accounts, bank accounts, and real estate. 4. If you change your name, order multiple copies of your marriage certificate. You'll need them to update your Social Security card, financial accounts, and employer and medical records. 5. Update your W-4 withholding to reflect your new marital status and ask a tax professional whether filing jointly or separately makes more sense. 6. Work with an attorney to create or update your will, medical directive, and financial and health care powers of attorney. Your estate plan should reflect your new life together. Marriage is a fresh start. With honest conversations, careful planning, and the right professional support, you can build a financial foundation as strong as your relationship. This has been Kelly Morlock, Financial Advisors with Edward Jones here in Half Moon Bay, and this week's Financial Focus.
This content was provided by Edward Jones. For use by Kelly Morlock, your Edward Jones financial advisor, at 650-726-9133.
Serving the neighborhoods of the Coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710 and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
I'm Jacqueline Long from Mindful Child and Family Therapy. We're a therapy practice dedicated to promoting mental health and wellness. We support people of all ages, from young children all the way up through older adults and couples. We have offices here on the coast in Half Moon Bay, as well as over the hill. Our therapists are really passionate about supporting people with relationship challenges, trauma, grief, anxiety, and depression. We know life can be hard, and it can be hard to find trusted people who can skillfully guide you through those tough times. But we're not here for easy. We're here for you. Visit us today at mcaft.com, which stands for Mindful Child and Family Therapy. That's mcaft.com, or you can call us at 650-300-3635. We love what we do, and Coastside Community, we love you.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Canty, D.C., your host for Keeping Pace with Your Health. Today we're talking about the quality of healthcare in the United States. If you stop someone on the street and ask them about healthcare quality here, you'd likely hear something along the lines of best in the world. But is that really the case? I have some statistics that you may find shocking. The United States has approximately 5% of the world's population. So for every 100 people alive on planet Earth, only 5 are from the United States. We have the top-ranked medical school in the world, along with 158 other medical schools, which is the most for a single country. We are near the top in number of hospitals, along with the number of doctors, right here in the United States. We take 60% of the entire world's prescription medications and nearly 80% of the world's pain medications. So for perspective, every drug produced in the world, 60 to 80 out of 100 of those drugs are consumed by only 5 out of 100 people. Think of those numbers for just a minute, and it's easy to see how someone could believe we do have the best quality of healthcare right here in the United States. But hold on, there's even more. We have medicine as entertainment, too. Starting with the very first medical drama, City Hospital, which aired in 1951, followed by numerous others. You may remember the shows Ben Casey, Dr. Kildare, General Hospital, which is the longest-running soap opera in production, Marcus Welby, M.D., Grey's Anatomy, and The Good Doctor, a program which tries to put a positive spin on the autism epidemic, to name a few. But the full list of all medical TV-related shows going back to the very first one, City Hospital, is quite long. In fact, I bet you'll be surprised to the actual number. It is 137. That's right, there have been 137 TV shows about doctors and hospitals. And that's just the fictitious drama programs. If you add medical documentaries, the number is staggering. Now let's add the endless stream of drug ads we are subjected to here in the United States on TV, radio, and print ads, which promise a cure for every disease we have ever thought of, and some we weren't even aware existed. And it's easy to see how someone could believe we do have the best healthcare in the world. But do we? More on this after this break.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Brian Shepherd from Shepherd Family Dentistry. Did you know that over 25% of America suffers from obstructive sleep apnea? They're suffocating in their sleep. I started treating my own sleep apnea about a month before I met my wife. I wear a mouthpiece that stops my snoring and keeps me breathing all through the night. Now, if I go to bed without my mouthpiece, she kicks me out of bed. So if you want to stop snoring and keep breathing, come on down to Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about the quality of healthcare in the United States. I've already pointed out that currently we have more doctors, hospitals, media programming, and commercials for drugs and drug uptake than any country in the world's history. Yay for us, right? Well, maybe not. We rank 40th in the world in health and wellness. And if you take the top 11 wealthiest countries, we rank dead last in healthcare quality. Yet we spend more for healthcare per individual in the United States than any other country in the world. We rank near the top in cancer rates worldwide, and our life expectancy is now 59th, according to the World Bank. That's right behind Algeria, which spends less than 1/30th per capita of what we spend on healthcare. The United States ranks 50th in infant mortality. Okay, let's stop and let that sink in. Cuba has lower infant mortality than the United States. And according to World Factbook, the Gaza Strip has lower maternal mortality than the United States. We lead the world in obesity and chronic disease. In the early 1980s, the rate of chronic disease in the United States was less than 12%. Now it is close to 60%. Unfortunately, our children are bearing the largest burden, with 54% of children now having at least one chronic disease. You may remember from a prior show that 80% of young people in the United States ages 18 to 24 are not fit for military service. In an upcoming show, I'll break this down even further, but let me leave you with this final thought. Once again, currently we have more doctors, hospitals, media programming, and commercials for drugs and drug uptake than any country in the world's history. If this model was working, shouldn't we be the healthiest society to have ever lived? Again, more on this later. Until then, this is Dr. Barry Canty, D.C. Stay healthy, Half Moon Bay.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
Serving the neighborhoods of the Coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710, and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
Coastside Carousel, the show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's, good food and good times for the entire family. And now your host for Coastside Carousel.
Welcome to Coastside Carousel, the show devoted to local bands along the coast and the venues at which they play. I'm Mike Dale. If you think the cello belongs strictly in a quiet symphony hall playing Bach, our guest today is here to completely shatter that illusion. On Sunday, June 14th, the historic Half Moon Bay Oddfellows Hall on Main Street is going to be rocking. We're being treated to a high-energy performance by Dirty Cello. They're out of San Francisco. They take blues, rock, and Americana and turn it completely on their head. Joining us today is the band's vivacious leader, vocalist, and classical-turned-crossover cello whiz, Rebecca Rodman. Rebecca, welcome to the show. Have you been to Half Moon Bay before?
We have, and we love it, and thank you for having me. It was last year. It was for the Half Moon Bay Oddfellows. We sold out. It was an amazing show, so we said we got to come back and do it the next year.
Tell us about you, and then tell us, what's a dirty cello?
My mom's a piano teacher. And at 7 years old, my mom said, would you like to play the harp? And I said, I would love to play the harp. And then we figured out we didn't have a big enough car. And so she said, how about you play the cello instead? I didn't know what it was, but I said, yes, I'd love to do it. So if the harp had worked out, you'd probably be talking to Dirty Harp instead of Dirty Cello. So I did music all through college, was completely classically trained, made it into some major orchestras, and then decided, you know what? I don't really actually like classical music. So about 15 years ago when we started the band, it was myself and my husband. My husband was on guitar, and we tried it out. We'd play for free at coffee shops and see if what would happen. And people liked it. So we're like, okay, let's just keep doing this. But it was merely a hobby for us. Then we had to come up with a name for the band. And it was kind of like, okay, well, what is the opposite of classical music? And classical music to me is clean. So we said, oh, well, let's be Dirty Cello. And actually, it ended up working really well for us having that name, because a lot of times people will be like, what the heck is a dirty cello? Then they'll pay tickets and come see our show.
It's just the best marketing in the world, Rebecca. It's just brilliant when you think about it. Tell us how the cello really makes rock sound cool.
Oh, thank you. A lot of people, like you said, do not think of the cello as being anything but a classical instrument. And I remember when I was in college, I was experimenting playing with singer-songwriters, and it was so boring because all I do is play long whole notes. And all I wanted to do was rock out and shred like a guitar player. So I started listening to guitar players like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, things like that. And I thought, well, they can do it on the guitar. Why can't I do it on the cello? So I am trying to mimic a guitar, but I think what fascinates people is that it's on a cello and there's a whole different technique. There's a whole bunch of different stuff I have to do and it involves using a bow. So that's how I try to make it accessible, and it's entertaining to watch, I think.
Let's go into one of those classic rock songs that you will play Sunday, June 14th, 4:30, Half Moon Bay Oddfellows, hmb-odd.org. Get your tickets now. This will sell out. Tell us about Purple Haze.
So Purple Haze was one of the first rock songs I ever learned. And at that point, I wasn't singing. Singing came later for Dirty Cello. On this version, because it's our latest version, you'll hear me singing the lyrics, having fun with the solos, not doing Jimi Hendrix solos, but doing my own kind of solo spin on it.
All right, carousellers, let's hear it now. This is Dirty Cello, Rebecca Rodman, and the band Purple Haze from Jimi Hendrix, KHMB, Coastside Carousel.
Thank you.
Community Radio for the Coastside, KHMB, 100.9 FM and AM 1710. Mike Dale with you and Rebecca Rodman of Dirty Cello, having a blast talking about classical music, but really rock and roll infused music. And you will see her Sunday, June 14th, and the band at Mumbai Oddfellows, 4:30 showtime. Get your tickets now. It will sell out. hmb-odd.org. When you bridge the gap between, say, classical music and rock and roll, where do you see all this music going 50, 100 years from now?
Well, that's a good question. Well, it was funny. I just got into a discussion with my husband about AI, and I don't think AI can replace people playing music even in 50 years. I think people love the authenticity of people creating music. So I think people are, you know, for us, we're going to still create our originals. We're going to still also do covers. And I think an important thing why we do covers is sometimes it doesn't translate what we're doing. And we're a cello led band. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But if I play a cover, people are like, oh, now I get it. So I think the future of music is still bright. And I think things will continue with still people creating original things.
How do you pick the classic rock songs that you do at the shows?
It comes from two places. One, we're like, ooh, this is cool. I want to play it. Simple as that. And another one, our fans will be like, hey, you should really learn this. It's really cool. And then we'll listen to it, and sometimes it's a bad idea. And we'll be like, nah. Or sometimes we're like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, I'll learn it. So either from fans or we just like the song ourselves.
We next want to play Proud Mary by CCR. Do you want to tell us a story about how you got to start playing this song?
I think probably a fan was like, hey, you guys should cover Proud Mary. And of course, whenever we cover a song, you'll notice it is nothing like the original. There's the basic elements, but we always put our own spin on it, as you'll hear in this song.
Here it is now on KHMB's Coastside Carousel, Proud Mary, played by Dirty Cello, that you will see on Sunday, June 14th at Half Moon Bay Oddfellows. Got it for you now on KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
Thank you.
100.9 FM and AM 1710 is KHMB. This is Coastside Carousel, the show by and for local artists on the Coastside and the venues at which they play. And we got a San Francisco band we're featuring today called Dirty Cello. I just love the term. And Rebecca Rodman, the founder of the band, is here today. And we're going to play an original in just a second. There was Proud Mary by CCR. Support for Carousel comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn. Looking for a great meal in Half Moon Bay? Look for the giant double-decker bus. Seriously, you can't miss it. Cameron's Pub and Inn serves up killer food, ice-cold drinks, and a vibe that's just right and the right amount of weird. Rebecca, tell us about the feeling of writing original material as opposed to doing covers. Do you feel like I got to have more covers versus original? Talk about that before we play your original song called Feeling Frisky in Frisco.
We like to have 50% of each, 50% of covers so people can understand what they're listening to, and 50% of our originals because it's something that we want to do and we feel like we shouldn't just do covers. And where usually it comes from things that have happened to us, or a lot of times it's bad stuff that happened to us. And we turn it into a song. We have a song called Don't Call Me Honey. When we were trying to buy a house, our loan agent was trying to, he kept calling me honey. Or there was a song called the Roadie Song where we had a run-in with a roadie from the band Everclear who was treating us really badly. So we always try to create a song from our experiences. So Feeling Frisky in Frisco, this one we're poking a little fun at our bass player. During COVID, our bass player sort of got into a relationship with our background singer. Our backup singer, and unbeknownst to him, she also had another boyfriend, and there was a whole thing that went along with that. And so they both lived in San Francisco, so we kind of poked fun at them and made this song called Frisky and Frisco. They both know about the song, so they're not offended. They think it's funny, but that's where the basis of that song came from.
All right, Coastside Carousellers, let's hear it now. This is Dirty Cello featuring Rebecca Rodman. Feeling Frisky in Frisco on KHMV.
Take the long road across the bay. If I need my way. Look for a friend, look for a good time. In the city, oh, so pretty, pretty fine. Oh, oh, don't you know I'm feeling frisky in Frisco. Need a place to lay my head. Big old comfy bed.
Feeling Frisky in Frisco. It's KHMB Coastside Carousel with Dirty Cello. Rebecca Rodman on the line with us today, talking about the gig coming up at Half Moon Bay Oddfellows on Sunday, June 14th, 4:30 showtime. Get your tickets now. It's going to be an amazing show. They played there once before. Great big dance hall. Beautiful sound in the Oddfellows Hall. HMB-odd.org. Rebecca, I've only got 20 minutes for this show. Sad to say, it goes by really fast. You have several identities, not just Dirty Cello. Do you want to tell us about some of the other cool hybrid bands that you formed?
Absolutely. So we have a rock and roll orchestra called the Renegade Orchestra. You can find out about that at renegadeorchestra.com. And we're like a 15-person rock and roll orchestra that just, it's like an explosion of sound. It's like a bunch of string players that play like me, backed up by a rhythm section. So that's one of the groups. Of course, we have Dirty Cello. We also have a 1940s swing band called the Death and Taxes Swing Band, and we perform a lot on the USS Hornet. In fact, we're doing a special August show, and we do a special Valentine's night show, and you can find more about that group at deathandtaxesswingband.com. And then we also have a klezmer band called the San Francisco Yiddish Combo. I have also Powerhouse Ladies, where it's three female-fronted bands, and we take turns playing songs on stage. You can find out more at powerhouseladiesmusic.com. And last but not least, a collective of musicians and ourselves formed this group called Not Loud Concerts. You can find out at notloudconcerts.com. And basically, we put on festivals that are not too loud, not too long, not too expensive. There's festivals happening in Napa this summer and in Berkeley, and you can find all the details at notloudconcerts.com.
Wow. How do you keep up with yourself, Rebecca?
I have three calendars.
Can't wait to see you Sunday, June 14th, Half Moon Bay Oddfellows. Get your tickets now, hmb-odd.org. It will sell out. It's a dance fest. Rebecca Rodman of Dirty Cello, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. This is so much fun.
That'll do it for this edition of Coastside Carousel. Remember to support our local musicians, the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live, and the wonderful music venues along the coastside. We are blessed with a rich tapestry of vibrant music. If you're a local band who writes original music and you want to be featured on the show, email me, mike@khmbradio.com. I'm Mike Dale. Stay in tune and be well on your carousel.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. The key to a self-governing nation is self-governing people, and the key to personal self-government is to live by the standards in God's Word. If someone cannot control himself by those standards, then our Constitution certainly will be unable to restrain him. Understanding this, John Adams declared, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Greed, ambition, revenge, or seduction would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." John Adams believed that successful government rested not upon our great Constitution, but rather upon moral and religious people.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.